Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review dated Thursday, August 6, 2026. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined The Bright Side, Youth Choir Belts Out Power Ballad. Maroa Forsyth Group backs Foreigner in hit song at the Devon by Danette Beckett. Decatur. Singing with a rock band takes energy and a bit of soul. At least that's the advice of Maroa Forsyth High School choir director Christopher Weisenborn told his student before they auditioned to sing on stage with Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees Foreigner. The high school choir was given the opportunity to sing the choral portion of I Want to Know What Love Is during Tuesday's show at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. This is a power love ballad, the choir director told the students. You have to sell it and get out of your comfort zone of just a normal choir concert setting. Have some fun. The youth choir was able to bring that same excitement to the stage Tuesday night while they sang standing between the band's keyboard player and drummer. It was amazing, high school junior Macy Whetstone said after leaving the stage. It was definitely a different environment than we're used to, said high school senior Lexi Nils. It was great. Their choir director was able to be on stage as well. I could not stop smiling, Weisenborn said. It was all worth it. Lexi and her twin sister Katie Niles said they were familiar with the classic rock band before they took to the stage. We just rehearsed it and then sang it a few times, Katie said. It didn't take us that long to put it together, Lexi added. Macy admits she is proud of the choir accomplishment before they even took to the stage. We learned it really quickly, she said. We auditioned and we got it. Dustin Bradshaw, the Devon's general manager, asked local youth choirs to submit audition videos singing a Foreigner song. It didn't matter what Foreigner song, he said. We looked through them and ended up choosing the Maroa Forsyth High School Choir. They just sounded good. Friends and fans encouraged Weisenborn to send an audition recording of the choir. With a busy schedule, including a choir trip to New York, he felt rushed and almost rejected the suggestion. After a couple of days, I said, let's just do this, Weisenborn said. After searching for an arrangement of I Want to Know What Love Is, Weisenborn taught the choir the song after one day of rehearsal. We cleaned it up over the next couple of days, the choir director said. It's such an iconic song. Everyone knows it. While the choir was in New York a few days later, Weisenborn received the call that they had been accepted for the gig. It happened real quick, Weisenborn, 40, said. The choir was given rules for their performance. For example, only 25 choir members will be allowed on stage. Maroa Forsyth had 21 singers registered. The band required the choir to sing in a specific key. The choir learned only a few hours before the performance where they would stand on stage. They knew ahead of time they wouldn't be meeting the band before the performance. According to Foreigner's keyboard player, Michael Bluestein, the band has invited a local youth choir to join them on stage at nearly every venue for 20 years. Most of the time it's high school choirs, but sometimes it's middle school, he said. We even had really young first graders or second graders. Invitations have been extended to adults as well, Bluestein said, but a good 75% of them are high school choirs, he said. Each show brings a different dynamic. Some of them are maybe a little shyer, Bluestein said. Other ones are more excited. The band has also watched the choirs add choreography to the performance. Some dance moves, like swaying, Bluestein said. Sometimes they're louder, sometimes just more enthused and excited. The band is also excited to be able to contribute to the local music programs. Foreigner donates $500 to the selected choir program, a perk that helped Weisenborn to make the decision to audition. Anytime we can get money to support our program is great, he said. With budget cuts in the public schools, the arts are often the first to go. It's really about raising awareness about music and arts programs in schools, Bluestein said. Members of Foreigner have been partnering with Music Cares and the Grammy Foundation, charities established by the Recording Academy. It's through this program to really raise awareness of how important these things are for kids, Bluestein said. Foreigner frontman Luis Maldonado encouraged the crowd during the show to support the arts in schools. Get involved in the programs to keep these music programs alive for them, he said. These are our future singers, our future bands, our future songwriters. Beginning his piano lessons at 9 years old, Bluestein said he understands the importance of assisting children in the arts. I've been around music programs since I was a kid, he said. Sticking with music and working hard at, putting in all the hours, practice, and experience has paid off well for me. The Bright Side highlights uplifting moments across our community. Visit our website to read more and share your ideas. The Bright Side, where good news lives. Community, stronger together. Law enforcement, big crowd, have fun at National Night Out, by Tony Reed, Decatur. Here's a story you don't read every day. Hundreds of people gathered in Decatur Tuesday night and were met by a large contingent of law enforcement, and everybody had a good time. The occasion was the annual National Night Out, staged on the grounds of Dansby Park and coinciding with similar events in 17,000 communities coast to coast. The aim was simple: encourage people to have some fun and interact with law enforcement officers and first responders when they are doing some very different extracurricular duties, engaging in games of tug-of-war, for example, or joining kids to run in races or handing out free goodies like T-shirts. The Decatur Police Department and the Macon County Sheriff's Office were there, both sponsors of the event, along with the FBI and first responders like the Decatur Fire Department and even an Air Evac Live Team 182 helicopter. A steady stream of Decatur public transit trolleys ferried people to Dansby Park for free, and there was also free food and lots of games and activities and, most importantly, conversation between people in uniforms and people and kids who weren't. Eric Ethel, Decatur's deputy police chief in charge of administrative operations, helped organize Tuesday's night out. It's really all about promoting safer neighborhoods through stronger relationships with law enforcement and others, said Ethel. It's coming out here, having conversations with police, getting to meet your police officers, getting to know their names, and building a bond which strengthens the community. Given some of the tough situations police have found themselves in recently, confronting large groups of a very different temperament on Decatur's streets, Decatur Police Chief Brad Allen was asked if we need a national night out more often than once a year. There's a lot that goes into events like this, he replied, but it would be great to do this more often. We are, however, always looking for ways to get out and engage with the community. Allen said he knows that one fun night won't wave a magic wand to make all of Decatur's community strife and crime problems melt away. But it's a start. Any time we can be with the community and make a positive impact, we're going to take advantage of it, he said. For the people who want to come out here tonight and be with us, we want to build those relationships. And the theme tonight is stronger, safer, together. And the police and the community are always stronger together. And it wasn't about just cops and first responders. Booths giving away information and swag featured organizations ranging from Heritage Behavioral Health Center to the NAACP and the Department of Children and Family Services. To encourage circulation, participants had to collect 6 tokens from various tables to qualify for the free food on offer, which kept the crowd interested and mobile. Leanne Bond is chairperson of the National Night Out Committee, which does all the organizing, and is backed by a raft of sponsors who meet the $15,000 cost left after many donations of labor and time. Bond, too, knows the scale of the task involved in making communities like Decatur and Macon County better and safer places to live. But, like Chief Allen, she said reaching out to children and their parents is a great place to start. Showing the community that police are human, just like us. They care about this community. They live here as well, she said. It was an arresting message that appeared to be going down well. Decatur mom Tatiana Garrett brought her family along for the first time Tuesday and liked what she saw. Yes, I definitely see the impact that something like this does have for the community, and I'm grateful for that, she said. You got people coming out here, bringing their families, and being exposed to different things that will help them in their own life. I feel that's very helpful, and all the food and the fun here is a good thing as well. Illinois. Insurance oversight legislation approved. Pritzker signs bills boosting state power to review rate hikes. By Peter Hancock, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed legislation Tuesday that will give the Illinois Department of Insurance authority to review and approve rate changes for homeowners and automobile policies. It's not asking too much to say to insurance companies, if you're telling your customers that rate hikes are necessary, you should be able to prove why, Pritzker said at a bill signing ceremony in Chicago. Prior to the bill signings, Illinois was one of only two states, with Wyoming, that did not exercise regulatory control over insurance rates. The new laws, which take effect July 1, 2027, prohibit companies from charging excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory rates and prohibit them from shifting the cost of losses in other states onto Illinois consumers. The new laws come a little more than a year after Illinois-based State Farm announced it was raising homeowners' insurance rates an average 27.2% statewide. They also come 2 years after Illinois motorists saw an average 18% hike in their auto rates, according to Secretary of State Alexei Giannoulias. In both cases, insurance industry officials said the rate increases were necessary due to inflation, the rising cost of repairs, and in the case of homeowners insurance, the increasing frequency of extreme weather. In addition, State Farm recently noted that auto insurance rates have been falling in Illinois and that it lowered its premiums by an average 15% in 2025. Insurance Department Director Ann Gillespie agreed there often are legitimate reasons for rate increases. But she said the new laws will help make sure that rate increases in the future are justified by reliable data. While no state legislation can fully eliminate these impacts to insurance premiums, these bills today hold insurance companies accountable for addressing their cost increases by requiring rates to reflect Illinois-specific losses and considerations, she said. House Bill 4273, the homeowners insurance bill, requires companies to give their customers 60 days' notice before raising premiums more than 10%. It also requires them to use credible state-specific claims data to develop their rates when it is available. But companies will be able to supplement that data with national, regional, or out-of-state data if needed to meet actuarial standards of credibility. Companies will still be able to charge new rates once they are filed with the insurance department. But the new law gives the department authority to review those rates and order rebates of any excess premiums collected if the rates are found to be excessive or unfairly discriminatory. Senate Bill 714, the auto insurance bill, requires companies to give customers 30 days' notice before raising premiums more than 10%. It also gives the department authority to review rates and order rebates if the rates are found to be excessive or unfairly discriminatory. Giannoulias pushed for that bill, criticizing companies for basing rates on factors unrelated to a person's driving record, such as their credit score or zip code. But while those practices are not specifically prohibited in the final legislation, the new law does ban rates that are unfairly discriminatory. For far too many Illinois families, the cost of mandatory auto insurance has become absolutely unsustainable, forcing impossible choices between paying for coverage and paying for life's basic necessities, Janulius said at the bill signing ceremony. That's not just a financial burden. It puts more uninsured drivers on the road and makes our roads and communities less safe. Insurance industry organizations, however, remain opposed to the new laws. In a joint statement issued after the bill signing, the Illinois Insurance Association, the American Property Casualty Insurance Association, and the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies warned the new laws will lead to higher costs and fewer choices in the insurance market because they do not address the economic realities behind premium increases. Instead, the laws impose a fundamental shift in Illinois' regulatory environment, moving the state toward a more rigid rate approval system, similar to struggling insurance markets like California, the organization said. This shift will make it harder for insurers to respond in real time to market conditions and adjust rates up or down based on actual claims experience. Pritzker, however, dismissed the industry's criticism. It's silly to suggest that this is going to raise rates across the board, he said. What's raising rates are when insurance companies are simply putting out their bills that people can't afford and that don't have any relationship to what's actually happening on the ground. Roadmap 2030, Decatur Public Schools. Planning for School Facilities on Track by Valerie Wells, Decatur. The Roadmap 2030 Facilities Planning for Phases 3 and 4 in Decatur Public Schools is proceeding on time. Roadmap 2030 is the district's strategic plan for the coming years that is in two parts. One focused on academic achievement and programs. One focused on the district's buildings and the most efficient use of space. The first portion was complete and approved by the board in May, while the facilities portion is still in development. That work began this summer. The board heard a report Tuesday from Mike Eichhorn, principal of Wold Architects, the Chicago firm engaged by the district to assist with these phases of the district's strategic planning process. Three members of the firm toured seven buildings on Tuesday and spent time talking to the district leadership team, building principals and staff. We had vibrant talks about pre-K, elementary, and middle schools, Eichhorn said. What are their needs and opportunities? And as we look at buildings, how to align them with Roadmap 2030 and how you want to deliver education. A future visit will concentrate on the high schools, he said. It's about understanding curriculum, facilities, and what they need, Eichhorn said. The next step is to look at what this does look like and putting the pieces in place next after programmatic needs. After school starts, we can have a long-range planning group. We want to have final documents ready for you in February, and that schedule depends on keeping the ball moving. The plan is to have monthly updates for the school board, said Jay Marino, Executive Director of Systems Alignment and Continuous Improvement for the district, who is heading up the roadmap activities. The board already has approved phases 1 and 2 with a mission, vision, and plan on a page and benchmarks to track progress on implementing the academic side of roadmap. The facilities plan is scheduled to be final by May and ready for board approval. And the facilities plan must meet the same goals that have already been approved, Marino said. One of our core discussions has been what is in the strategic plan and what do the mission and vision call for, he said. What do we see as the education program in Decatur Public Schools? Every conversation is centered around what does it say in our mission? Do we have personalized pathways for students? Are we setting every student up for success? And what does that look like for students, especially in middle school and as they move into high school? Do we have exploratory systems set up so we can use the high school years to identify what we have in district for them? Once we get school started and get teachers back in the flow and checking email again, we can get the roadmap committee back again. We had all but one person say they would love to come back. So how do we make sure we have all the voices in the room and make sure we've got all the perspectives needed? District names new school administrators. By Valerie Wells, Decatur. Johns Hill Magnet School and Baum School will have new faces in administration when school begins on August 12th. Orlando Thomas was named principal of Johns Hill, and Julie Turner was named assistant principal of Baum School at Tuesday's Decatur Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Thomas most recently served as executive of school supports for Champaign Schools. Thomas holds a master's degree in educational and organizational leadership from the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Turner is a Decatur native and graduate of MacArthur High School, with master's degrees in educational leadership from Eastern Illinois University in Charleston and Concordia University in Chicago, and in elementary curriculum, assessment, and instruction from Jones International University, Centennial, Colorado. She is also a graduate of Millikan University. Public safety. Heavy gunfire leads to 11 arrests. By Tony Reed, Decatur. Police are investigating and appealing for public assistance after a heavy burst of gunfire in Decatur in the early hours of Tuesday morning. Lieutenant Benjamin Massey with the Decatur Police Department said officers converged on the 3700 block of North Portage Place and East Wellington Way at 1:10 a.m. in response to multiple 9/11 calls. Upon arriving, officers located what looks like approximately 50 spent casings from multiple calibers, and they all appear to be handgun rounds, Massey added. They also located some property damage consistent with property being shot, which involved at least one car. There were no reports of injuries. According to Lieutenant John Quell with the Decatur Police Department, 11 people were taken into custody for the shooting incident. With all the confusion, some guy slipped away, he said. We were able to find him 2 hours later and charge him with escape. Police are seeking the public's assistance with the investigation. Detectives can be reached at 217-424-2734 or call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. Analysis. ICE crackdown risks economy by Jessica Guin, USA Today. For years, employers from Florida to Ohio have relied on immigrants taking part in a humanitarian program to staff hard-to-fill job openings for construction workers and home health aides. Now, they warn, the Trump administration's sweeping crackdown on immigration is threatening that labor pool. More than 300,000 Haitian migrants are losing their temporary protected status that allows them to live and work in the United States. The Supreme Court last month cleared the way for Haitians who sought sanctuary in the United States after natural disasters and political unrest in the Caribbean island nation to lose that protection. The ruling also covers about 6,000 people from Syria, which endured a devastating civil war from 2011 to 2024. Immigration rights groups expect the Trump administration will also end TPS for immigrants from other countries. The T in TPS stands for temporary. James Percival, general counsel of the Department of Homeland Security, said last month on Fox News, "It is closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here." Trump's reforms worry Mark Zandi. The chief economist at Moody's Analytics said immigrants are a key ingredient in the American economy's secret sauce. More workers filling jobs and spending money spurs economic expansion, creating more jobs. The highly restrictive immigration policies are a significant headwind to economic growth and a tailwind to the uncomfortably high inflation, Zandi said. Many industries are struggling to replace immigrant workers who are leaving the workforce, most notably agriculture, construction, manufacturing, transportation, leisure and hospitality, and personal services. This is limiting the ability of these industries to expand and raising their costs and thus inflation. The potential loss of workers in key industries has set off alarm bells in the business community. Trade groups have mobilized, warning of looming economic disruptions in industries already facing chronic labor shortages. Some 830,000 TPS recipients are part of the U.S. labor force, principally in construction, retail and wholesale, leisure and hospitality, transportation, and business services, according to a recent estimate from pro-immigration think tank FWD.US. The sudden loss of Haitian-born workers would be especially acute in healthcare and caregiving occupations and could affect the delivery of care and other essential services in nursing homes and other facilities, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce warned in a July 10th letter to Senate leadership. With 50 to 75 job openings at any one time, Goodwin Living, an Alexandria, Virginia nonprofit that provides health care, hospice, and housing services to about 5,000 older adults, is always on the lookout for qualified workers, from nursing assistants to housekeepers. Hints from Heloise. Know which plants aren't safe for pets, by Heloise. Dear Heloise, every year we see cats and dogs in our clinic who suffer anything from a sore mouth to organ failure because they chewed on a plant. Here's a list of the worst offenders and most dangerous house plants for pets. Anthurium, begonia, Chinese evergreen, Dracaena, aka dragon tree, snake plant, aloe vera, sago palm, Diefenbachia, English ivy, Schefflera, ficus, fiddle leaf fig. Either place these plants up high, or better yet, don't grow them in your yard. Your cat or dog doesn't know any better, but you do. Kathy in Oregon. The cat's bath time. Dear Heloise, most people assume all cats hate baths. While it's true that some do, the ones that don't raise much of a fuss were bathed as kittens. I always started my cats out with baths as kittens and bathed them about once a month. It kept their fur clean, and as they grew older, they knew that they'd get a bath and were used to it. Bathing a pet also removes saliva from their fur, reducing allergies at the same time. Thomas F. in Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review dated Thursday, August 6th, 2026. Please stay tuned.